The following is a presentation of the American College of Osteopathic Internists.
Welcome to the 2017 Internal Medicine Board Review Course, sponsored by the American College of Osteopathic Internists. The course was held March 22nd through 26th, 2017, at the JW Marriott Las Vegas Resort and Spa. The course featured nationally known speakers presenting a wide variety of topics of interest to the internist preparing for certification or recertification in the specialty of internal medicine. Pulmonary Sleep Board Review Questions is presented by Dr. Thomas Morley, Dr. Amita Vasoya, and Dr. Timothy Barrero.
The first question says, all of the following are obstructive lung diseases except... And
if you want to make any comments on any of these,
well, the answer is idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. That is a restrictive lung disease. The rest are obstructive.
SIADH can be seen with which type of lung cancer?
I guess I don't need to explain this one.
It's a test in how well the speaker got across. A rare side effect of leukotriene antagonists is?
The answer is Churg-Strauss, which is now called eosinophilic granulomatosis with polyangiitis.
Which of the following hypercoagulable states is associated with both arterial and venous thrombosis?
You remember that slide we went over? The hyperhomocysteinemia. Oh, you missed. Tim just made a good point. We may be not waiting long enough for all the answers to go in. So it is hyperhomocysteinemia. You got it right on the end there.
The other one that may be on there that causes both is HIT, right? So think a HIT that causes both arterial and so that's another one that will cause a mixed.
In a patient with pulmonary embolism, thrombolytic therapy should be given.
Absolutely. Good job.
Good job. A patient with suspected pulmonary embolism has a low Wells score and a negative D dimer. The patient should.
It's like a mixture here.
Yeah. Trying to read the answers. Yeah. Have no further workup. Remember, we said that the Wells, if you have a Wells score that's that low and no other risk, a D dimer, the risk of having that thromboembolic disease is pretty low. Now, the answer would be different if somebody had a high clinical probability, then you would do additional testing, but low and a negative D dimer, you don't have to do anything.
In a patient with sepsis, which of the following would likely be elevated?
Yeah, the answer is not right. Mixed venous saturation actually goes down in people with sepsis. Your goal for a mixed venous saturation is never an answer on the boards. So I'm not really sure why the question is necessarily there, right? We don't follow that. It's a nice thing to do. Mixed venous saturation determines what essential, right? You get blood blood gas from a central port, which we already said you also don't need, right? The goal was 70 means that your right peripheral perfusion was adequate. So it's things that we like to do, but it actually goes down. Down in sepsis, it improves the better that you're doing in your sepsis treatment. So none of the answers, your bicarbonate is usually low, your oxygen tension is usually low, your carbon dioxide tension may go up because of poor perfusion, but your mixed venous is not the answer. So I would have went.
I just disagree. The people that have sepsis do have decreases in their oxygen, increases in their mixed venous oxygen, because that decrease in oxygen consumption. Now, not all groups of sepsis, but sepsis generally. Yeah.
Any other comments? In order to reduce auto PEEP, you should increase. Go back. Did everyone have a chance? Maybe we're going a little too fast. In order to reduce auto PEEP, you should increase.
Increase. Yeah, you should increase. You wouldn't increase the tidal volume because that would make the problem worse. You wouldn't increase minimum ventilation because that would make it worse. Plateau pressure and PEEP are probably irrelevant. But the you want to increase the expiratory time to allow more time for the air to come out.
Auto PEEP is a common question. It's been in mixed apps and med studies since I reviewed them for the past 10 years. An extremely important question. And what they'll ask you to do, likely for the management, is disconnect the ventilator. Okay? So auto PEEP is extremely common. It leads to hypotension. They're going to ask you someone on the ventilator who gets an inappropriate high tidal volume, right? Or an inappropriately, right, high respiratory rate and then becomes hypotensive. And why they think it's so important is because you're going to have to discern whether it's agitation, right? Because there's no Ativan deficiency in the ICU, right? So it's not agitation, right? It's either pneumothorax, right, tension on the ventilator, or it's going to be auto PEEP. And that's why it's an important common question they want you to be able to discern.
Okay, next question. When interpreting spirometry findings, which of the following best reflects the level of obstruction?
The gold answer?
That was your question.
It's split. And when we quantitate it, we look at the FEV1, FVC. That's how we say how severe it is. But the FEV1 is important, and that correlates with the severity as well. But in terms of definition, like gold and that kind of stuff, that's based on the ratio. No, I'm sorry. In terms of the gold criteria, as Amita said, is that the FEV1 has to be less than 70, and after it's less than 70, you have obstructive disease. And then after that, it's the absolute FEV1 that is the level of obstruction. That's based on gold.
A 25-year-old male presents with a cough of 3 months' duration and erythematous nodules on his legs for 3 weeks. He worked near asbestos briefly as a teen. His chest radiograph shows bilateral upper lobe interstitial infiltrates. The most likely diagnosis is?
Whoa, there's a spread there. So pulmonary fibrosis, where do we say that was? Upper or lower? Usually older patients, lower lobe disease. Same thing with asbestos, usually lower lobe disease. Langerhans cell is usually upper lobe. Sarcoid can be upper. And chronic eosinophilic is usually upper. So what was the question?
He's got nodules on his legs.
Oh, he's got nodules. Of those diseases, the most common would certainly be sarcoid.
Which of the following diseases is often associated with an acute clinical course?
Pretty good. It's getting better all the time. Yeah. None of the Langerhans cell is not asbestos, rheumatoid, the IPF are all chronic diseases. Bronchiolitis obliterans or COMP can have an acute or subacute course, so that'd be the correct answer.
Hypersensitivity pneumonitis is in your choices.
Why is A wrong? Is it an organic or inorganic? Yes. Hypersensitive is an organic antigen you inhale, so inorganic would be incorrect. I'm going to get to the rest of them. Can you go back to that once? Definitely. Remember, I showed you the slide where you could see the not like sarco, but they have the poorly formed granulomas in them, and the infiltrate is usually neutrophilic, not lymphocytic.
A 44-year-old non-smoking woman presents with severe persistent asthma refractory to traditional therapy, LABA plus LAMA plus ICS plus LT. Multiple yearly hospitalizations for the same, and IgE levels 362. Allergy skin testing positive for dust mites in cats. Which of the following is the most appropriate treatment?
The correct answer is omalizumab, Xolair. This patient has tried everything, the LAMA, the LABA, ICS, the leukotrienes. Her IgE level is elevated, so this one will. This is probably the best drug that the patient will be responsive to.
Which of the following is usually not an option in the treatment of small cell lung cancer?
That's right.
Okay. The most common type of lung cancer in non-smoking women is?
Adenocarcinoma is the correct answer.
Which one of the following interventions is most likely to improve the chances of survival for a patient with mild acute respiratory distress syndrome?
Get that, who's ever doing it, don't do it. Yeah, it's, again, lung protective strategy, 6 cc's, follow your plateau pressure, right? Ideal body weight.
Which one of the following interventions is most appropriate for a patient with acute respiratory distress syndrome is being treated with low tidal volume ventilation strategy is 6 mL/kg of ideal body weight, and who has a partial pressure of oxygen of 71 on 90% fraction of the inspired oxygen, a plateau pressure of 28, and a positive end expiratory pressure level of 18 centimeters of water.
Nice, very good. So again, there is a second tier question. First of all, it gave you parameters. It then asked, from that, you're supposed to calculate your Berlin, know that it's low, less than 100, and then your modalities from there. So well done.
Increasing which of the following ventilator settings is most likely to improve oxygenation for a mechanically ventilated patient with acute ARDS?
That's just too easy, right? So one of the questions that commonly comes up when it comes to ARDS management is, what is the best level of PEEP? And the answer is, whatever you feel comfortable increasing it to. That's the answer, right? So ideally, about 14 to 15, we all get a little bit uncomfortable, and so we try to use alternate modes. And that was proven in the literature, and that was also the FACT study that looked at pulmonary artery catheters, fluid management, and what's called the best PEEP. In the old days, we used to do all kinds of fancy things called esophageal manography, et cetera. Those are the ideal ways to do it, but labor intensive and not universal across the board. So the answer is, what's the best PEEP? Whatever you feel comfortable doing.